Let's talk about today's message. I went online and I was listening to Pastor James' last two messages. Great messages on a teaching about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues last week, he talked about that. And what a blessing that is. I don't know what I would do without that in my life. And so I want to talk today just for a few minutes to encourage you. I'm going to call it the local church empowered by the Holy Spirit. The local church empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 9, it says Jesus, in verse 35, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." So when he says they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, it's kind of like today, right? When you look at the protesters, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're there half the time, I don't think. I don't want to get into that, but, you know, I get into political stuff. But that's how the world is today, like sheep without a shepherd. And so we see that same need today. But the question I got was, how did Jesus go about meeting the need that he saw? How did he go about doing that? Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth to give his life as a sacrifice for the salvation of mankind. He lived as a man and gave us a picture of God. Anybody ever want to know what God is like? All you have to do is look at Jesus. One time Philip came to Jesus, one of the disciples, he said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Philip, you mean you've been with me all this time and you haven't seen the Father?" He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So if you ever want to know what God is like, all you have to do is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what Jesus is like, and that's what the Father is like. You never ever again have to, you know, wonder what God is like. Because Jesus was the exact visible image of the invisible God. Wow, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? But he gave his life by dying on the cross. He shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven and erased. How many of you are glad that your sins are forgiven? Well, how about how many of you are glad that your sins are erased? I mean, erased. You ever erase anything on a blackboard? You don't see it anymore. It's just totally erased. That's our sins, thank God. So we became brand new people. Bible says, any man who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you here today? I'm already preaching myself happy. He made it possible for us to be born again because we were hopelessly lost and separated from God. Oh, remember those days. They buried him, but the grave could not hold him, and he rose from the dead. How many of you are glad he rose from the dead? A little time later, he ascended to heaven. Actually, I wanted to show you that. You know, we don't see this very often. We read Acts 1:8, but we don't read Acts 1:9 and 10 and 11. It says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. Imagine that. He was just there talking, all of a sudden he just lifts off. They were there watching and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Right there. We're going to see him come just like that one of these days. We don't know when that day is, but it's going to be. And every day that goes by, it's closer. Amen? Before he went to heaven, he appeared to his disciples. And in one case, in John 20, in one case it says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 8:11, it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. And so when he breathed on them, the Holy Spirit came to live in them. Think about that. But those same individuals, he said this to. My Spirit will come upon you. No, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's Acts 1:8. What he said before he left. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we see the Holy Spirit within, and then he says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you to the same people where the Holy Spirit was already within. The Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. That's why. Not just to speak in tongues, that's great and wonderful, but also to be my witnesses. Jesus said, my Spirit will come upon you to empower you to continue my work. Continue. So they went and began to do the same works he did. And Jesus is asking us today, will you continue my work on the earth today? Hope City Church, will you continue my work on the earth today? He's saying. So the Holy Spirit came to live in people to empower them to continue the works that Jesus started. Wherever they went, this group of people began to proclaim the love and power of Jesus. This group of people became a mighty, moving force, and the Church of Jesus Christ was planted on the earth. And this church has multiplied all over the world to where there are probably around 2 billion people in the church today. Nothing can stop this mighty moving force, the Church of Jesus Christ. One time in Matthew 16, we see this. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, this is Matthew 16, verse 13, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? This is personal. Who do you say that I am? Jesus wants us to know him personally. Simon Peter, the bold one, answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, you got to bind it on earth first, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's the church. Nothing's going to stop the church. So when the church, like Hope City Church, when the church proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ and someone chooses to believe, like when you chose to believe, the devil has to stand by helpless and watch another person be rescued from the kingdom of darkness and see that person be translated into the kingdom of God. Nothing he can do about it. This mighty moving force is rescuing people every day all over the world. From this beginning, the church has multiplied throughout the world in groups of all sizes. One church in many places called the local church. As a local church, Hope City Church, you are part of a worldwide moving force nothing can stop. Remember that every time you meet together, you're part of a much bigger force, mighty moving force in the world. So God raises up people to start churches like he did this one. Pastor James and Sarah. Many churches are started every day around the world. Sometimes when I mispronounce a word, you know, I always want to say, you want to come up and do this? Every church has its own personality. has its own style and method of doing things. Each person, church, has an assignment from God. Each individual and each church has an assignment from God. And everybody has to swim in their own lane. I probably told you this story before. But in our very first missions trip, when Worship Center was just starting, it was about a year and a half old, we took 40 people on a mission trip when we had like 250 people, like one-fifth of the congregation. And we went to Jamaica. And we didn't go to Sandals. We went to Kingston, where all the gangs and everything was. You know, and we did a crusade. And we had a tent crusade where a couple thousand people came every night. And I was as shy as could be, but I wanted to preach. And so inside I said, Lord, have him ask me. But I didn't want to. And VT, we had been introduced to VT Williams. He died last year at 92.
He was a real rough talking guy. And he said, Pastor Sam, would you like to preach tonight?
Okay. And so evening came. I was so scared, Pastor James, in that tent. I was like panicking. But I preached about the woman with the issue of blood. And I was preaching, and in 20 minutes, I ran out of stuff to say. Honestly, I didn't know what to say anymore. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll have an altar call. So I had an altar call, and about 10 people came. About 10 people out of 2,000. You know, that's nice. That's nice. Thank God for 10, right? So I prayed for them. And they went back to their seats. And then BT gets up. And he starts to preach. And there was gangs at the back of the tent with guns and knives disrupting things. And he was preaching, repent! Repent! And after a while, those gang members came up and put their guns and knives on the platform. And he had an altar call after preaching about 10 minutes, waving a white hanky. Hundreds of people came. Hundreds of people came. I was so dejected. So next morning,
he said, Pastor Sam, at breakfast, he said, Pastor Sam, swim in your own lane.
I said, excuse me?
He said, swim in your own lane. He said, last night you were trying to be like me.
I said, yeah, I know. I know.
He said, you're not me and I'm not you. You do what you're called to do and I do what I'm called to do. Everybody swims in their own lane.
I've never forgotten it, Pastor James. That has helped me all of my 48 years of ministry. Every time I'd see something new out there that people were trying to convince me to do as a church over here, so many programs, you know, I would always think, is that what God wants for us? I remember one time I did jump on a wagon. You know, there was this ministry called Could You Not Tarry for 1 Hour? It's like prayer time, prayer thing. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you follow the Lord's prayer every day, 6 days a week. 1 hour of prayer. I mean, all we had in about 6 months is a bunch of tired people. You know, I realized that wasn't really God telling me to do. Nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't for us. You know, so you have to know what God has for you as a church and what God has for you as an individual. Swim in your own lane. If you swim in somebody else's lane, you get all mixed up. Right? Thank you. So for some, church is a place to get christened, married, and buried. I call that hatching, matching, and dispatching. Some think church is to attend services on Christmas or Easter or when you have a need or are in trouble. But the church is much more than that to God. It is the vehicle he uses to do his work in people's lives on the earth. Is the church still relevant today? Someone might ask. Absolutely. It is God's vehicle to rescue people from the jaws of hell. Are you listening to me? It is God's vehicle to bring help, hope, and healing to those who are like sheep without a shepherd. The church deals with absolute truth about the only organization that still does that. Absolute truth, salvation, death, life, love, grace, redemption. Now, the church is not perfect. And we don't always live up to our own standards. And if someone thinks they've found the perfect church, it ceases to be perfect when they join. Movements come and go. Jesus said, I will build my church and nothing will stop it. Last October, I was in India. Cheryl and I were in India. I've been to India many times. I think that was my 26th trip. And that's my favorite place to travel to. I don't know why. I love the chaos. I just love everything there. I don't, except the food. I don't like the food. And so they try to cook for us American. And they serve us cold mashed potatoes, which you eat what's put before you. So this one pastor who's a pastor in our network, Worship Center Network, which Pastor James and Sarah are part of, and he called me before we left. He said, Pastor Sam, there's a lot of persecution right here in our area, and they're coming in to church services and shutting them down. And he said, so we can't have services during the day, but we'll have them at night. And so he said, they already closed, and we got there. He said, they've closed two of our churches. He had a network of churches himself. And he said, but you know what they're doing? He said, so they stopped meeting in their public places, and they took one meeting place and put it into four homes. And so they're reaching more people than they were before, because now they're just not in one place, they're in four different places, reaching out to their neighbors. And I thought, nothing can stop the church. Nothing can stop the church, no matter what the enemy tries to do. Amen? In the early church, when it first started with 3,000 people. You all know that story. Peter was preaching and 3,000 people came to know the Lord that one day. Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe that'll happen again. I don't know. But it was a learning church. It was a church of fellowship. It was a praying church. It was a reverent church. They had great respect for God and for each other. It was a church where things happened. They expected great things, and great things happened. They attempted great things. It was a sharing church. It was a worshiping church. It was a joyful church, because when they interacted with people and they saw the joy that they had, even in all of their bad circumstances, many people came to the Lord. The Bible says that every day people were added to the church. Every day. The church is like that today all over the world. So what are some benefits of the local church? Number one, there's probably more than I'm sharing, but number one, it's a family to belong to. We all have a need to belong. Sometimes a person needs to feel they belong before they believe. We all desire to belong. Reminds me of a story of our daughter, Nicole. You know, I told you that we have one child in heaven. In 1974, we had a 16-month-old son named Christopher. And he got out on the road, was hit by a pickup truck, and was killed. That was the worst day of our life ever, before and since. And if he'd be living today, he'd be 52. I don't know how age is in heaven, but in earthly terms, he'd be 52. And I can't help but think sometimes what he would be doing, because I know that wasn't God's will. You know, people said stupid stuff to us. You know, sometimes when a tragedy happens like that, you just have to keep your mouth shut and go there and just be. Just your presence will minister. You don't have to say anything. You know, like one person says, Sam, we weren't pastor then yet. Sam, you know, God needed another flower for his bouquet in heaven. Made me mad. I didn't say it. I felt like it. And I thought, my son's not a flower. And God has enough flowers in heaven. Another person came and said, well, you know, Sam, God knew that Christopher wouldn't turn out well, so he took him home now. As if that was supposed to comfort me. What a stupid thing to say. What about all the other ones that didn't turn out well? Huh? That's ridiculous. No, an accident happened and he was killed. Is there a spiritual meaning? I don't know. I don't try to figure that out. It doesn't help to ask why when things like that happen. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you ever want to show me something about it, then I'm all ears. But from now on, I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to ask why. I'm not going to ever blame you. I'll never blame God, because a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. 3 months after that happened, someone came to us and said, there's a little girl that we found. She's 2 years old in a mobile home down in the Kirkwood area of Lancaster County. There was a community action program called CAP. And they said, would you like to take her in? We thought about you. And Sherilyn says, let's take her in. I said, no. I was still reeling from the death of our son. I said, no. But not. And Sherilyn said, please, for a couple days. Finally, I said, okay. She wore me down. I said, all right. Take her in. So 6 months went by. And I said, this is our little girl. And we had nothing legal, because it was a community program, not official. And so we went to a lawyer and got a temporary custody drawn up so that the parents couldn't just come and grab her. We weren't trying to keep her away from her parents if they were responsible people. And so then we thought, okay, well, let's go for adoption. Well, when you go for adoption, you have to have a parental rights termination hearing first. And it has to be advertised where the last address where the parents were living. So we had that, and the mom showed up. And so the judge said, I cannot terminate her parental rights because she came, but I can give her visitation rights. And so it's a long story. So she got visitation rights. It was right around the time that we were going to Rhema. And the judge said we could go to Bible school if we come back Thanksgiving and Christmas and spring break and Easter and that kind of thing. But the mom only ever showed up one time. And so we waited for 2 years. I'm talking about everybody wants to belong. That's what I'm talking about. So we waited 2 years and we went for adoption. Well, the Children's Bureau in Lancaster said we have to give her back after we had her 3 years. And I said, it's not in the best interest of this child to give her back after we've had her for 3 years. She's our little girl. They said, no, you got her unofficially, and you have to give her back, and we'll give her to the first family in line. And then I said, we're not giving her back. And he said, well, then you have to go to court. I said, all right, I'll see you in court. If you want to get that way, I'll get that way too. I mean, they took us through a brutal home study and all kinds of hearings and stuff, and put Sherilyn on the stand and tried to confuse her. And it was not good. So the day came when the judge was going to make his final decision. We were all in the courtroom. A whole bunch of our friends were there. Maybe you and Barry were there. I don't know. And people were praying in tongues under their breath, you know. Everybody was quiet. And little Nicole, here's my point. Little Nicole was there. She's now 5. And we told her, I said, Nicole, today you're going to become a smucker. I said it by faith. Today you're going to become a smucker. So she was sitting there, and the judge comes out, Judge Toby Apple. I mean, he had stately, white, wavy hair, thick hair, which looked beautiful, and he had a black robe, and he came and sat down and said, well, I've made my decision. We were all there, and he said, I have decided to award Nicole Ann Riley to the Smucker family. And little Nicole, 5 years old, she jumps up, yay, I'm a Smucker! Everybody wants to belong. A child is born into a specific family, and receives nurture and care so it can grow to be healthy and strong. Nobody expects a baby to grow on its own. God never meant for us to grow and develop in isolation. We are dependent on one another as the body of Christ. We're dependent on one another in a local church, a place where it is safe to have problems, a place where people are accepted as they are. Doesn't mean we accept sin, we accept the person. You got to separate that. A place where there is not a judgmental attitude, but an attitude of acceptance. A place where we should be able to anticipate acceptance. A place where it is easy to ask for help. Maybe I shouldn't call it a place. Maybe I should say a group of people. A place where we walk the road of pain with each other. We care like Jesus did. The Bible says in Luke 15 and chapter 1, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Well, how are we going to reach people if we don't associate with them? And one way of associating is eating with them. I'm getting angry just thinking about it. Jesus was ridiculed for spending time with people that needed him the most. A church, a local church, is a place where it is comfortable to come and investigate the faith. A local church provides an umbrella of protection. We are concerned about each other's spiritual welfare. We look out for each other. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you know we do have an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. About the time you experience something you think that no one else ever experienced, you'll find somebody that experienced something worse. Just not too long ago, we went to a viewing where a family lost two kids in one accident. And those two kids were grandkids of my best friend when we went to elementary school years ago. Hadn't seen him for a long time, but we felt we should go just to be there. Two caskets. And I'll never forget walking up. This was just a couple, like 2 months ago. Walk up to the casket, I'm thinking, wow, we had one. They lost two. So about the time you think you're the only person that has ever experienced something like you did, you'll hear that somebody else. And then you just go and you just your presence. Those people, they knew who we were. And they were so blessed that we would come and just be there. So there's a protection that there is when you're part of a local church. Protection when we are closely knit with other believers. The second benefit of being a part of a local church is, so the first one is, it's a family to belong to. The second one is where the Word of God is the foundation. We help people, Pastor James, we help people build their lives on the Word of God. It's the only unshakable foundation that exists. I remember when we went to Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's where Pastor Barry Ryan went to. I can see him, Donna, here today. And he went the same time we did. And we became buddies and became friends. He had a dog. I don't know what his name was, but he had a dog. And that was his buddy, because he wasn't married to Donna yet. And then he came to us once. He said, I think I'm going to ask Donna to marry me. And so he said, I'm getting married when I graduate. I said, okay. Then he came back later. We're going to marry at spring break. I said, okay, great. Then he said, and he came back and said, I'm going to marry at Christmas. Christmas break. Sorry, Donna, I didn't mean to bring all those memories back, but sometimes it's good to have memories. And so he became such a good friend. And why did I say that? We went to the same school, and that Bible school, Rhema Bible Training College, now they call it. It was called Rhema Bible Training Center. And they taught us to build our lives on the Word of God. So when I came back and I started, we helped Pioneer Worship Center in 1977. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to help people build their lives on the Word of God. So that when things happen to them, that they won't be shaken. Or even if they're shaken, they're still going to stand. I just wanted that. I wanted to do that. It's been my goal ever since. Every local church, help people build their lives. You know, a local church, you build brick by brick. A local church is not built on thrills and frills. Nothing wrong with thrills and frills every now and then. But you have to understand a local church is built brick by brick. Person by person, line upon line, message upon message, Bible study upon Bible study. Jesus said, it is written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The last point, the success of the local church depends on the members taking ownership of the vision. The local church empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the name of my message. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to different people. Different gifts to different people. And as every person in a local church uses those gifts, that local church becomes a mighty moving force for God. It's not just the pastor and his team and attenders. No. It's the local church, every person taking responsibility for the vision, walking together, using their gifts to bring what they have to the body, to that local church. And as we work together with all our different gifts, great things for God are accomplished. We become a team that cannot be stopped. In Philippians 1:27, it says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, listen to what the Apostle Paul says to this church. I will know that you're standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. In the Message paraphrased edition, it says, singular in vision. Singular in vision. Fighting together with one spirit and one purpose. Fighting together for the faith. That's Hope City Church. That's a local church doing what God has called them to do. You know, being raised Amish, we were not allowed to have tractors. I don't know why, but we weren't. I'm still bitter. No, I'm not. But I'd be working out in the field with mules. We had the best mule team in the whole community. We'd work with seven other farms to bring in our crops like wheat and tobacco. And, oops, sorry, I didn't say that. And, yeah, Amish people are allowed to smoke if it's brown. It's true. You think I'm kidding? They're allowed to. They can't be white. They can't be cigarettes, but they're allowed to blow, you know, cigars and tipperillas or whatever. So we farmed tobacco. So we'd work together. And when it was time for us to come to our, for all those seven farms to come to our house and help us with our wheat harvest, we had an incline into the second level of our barn. And that's where we kept the crops, that's where we'd store the crops. And so we, these big, high, packed, full wagon loads of wheat or whatever we had, you know, it was hard to get them up that incline. And every neighboring farm had their own team of mules. And our team of mules' name was Dick and Pete. They were the best in the whole community. Dick and Pete. And when other mules, they try to get a load in, and they'd get up so far, and then they'd go like this. And they They just wouldn't be able to get it up there. And my dad said, all right, get Dick and Pete. Unhook them, get Dick and Pete. Dick and Pete, oh, I loved them. I mean, they would pull together. They always would. I never saw them not get it in. They wouldn't give up on each other. They just pulled together until their bellies almost hit the ground. Legs spread out and get them up there, Dick and Pete. It's like a local church. You pull together. You don't ever give up on each other. You pull together and you fulfill the vision God has put here at Hope City. The local church is the hope of the world. Somebody says, well, I thought Jesus is the hope of the world. He is. But we're his body on the earth. We're his hands, his feet, his voice, his influence. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're called and empowered to do the works of Jesus. Amen. When Jesus came back from being tempted in the wilderness, he went into the temple and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, to put at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You might say, yeah, that was Jesus. But now we're his body here on the earth. And so now we say as a church, we can even say that as individuals, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, to put at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's us. That's a local church. I'm done. Let's be a united local church reaching out to a lost and dying world. A community of redeemed people who are salt and light to a fallen world. You know that song that you sang? I speak the name of Jesus. I love that song. I love that song. I felt goosebumps when we were doing it. That doesn't mean anything, but I just felt. And you know, as dads, you speak the name of Jesus over your family, over your kids. I do it all the time. Over my grandkids, over my great grandkids. On my way here today, I had this come up in my spirit. And I was reminded again while we were singing that there's one part in that song where it says, we speak the name of Jesus over anxiety and fear and depression or something like that. And on my way here today, and I didn't know you were going to sing that song, I saw myself praying for people who are dealing with anxiety and fear and worry, and for people that have panic attacks. I saw myself do it. So I want to be obedient. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. You've been sitting for a while. If you deal with anxiety, panic attacks, worry, I mean, all of us maybe do at one time or another. I'm talking about this is ongoing in your life. You can't shake it. Anxiety, worry, fear, depression. I want you just to be bold enough to come. I want to pray for you. I want to do what I felt the Holy Spirit tell you. I want you just to come and stand here. I'm going to believe that power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We'll break that over you. We'll break it. We'll break it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to also pray that this peace would invade your life and your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Ask God what you need and thank Him for what He has done in your life. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Put your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You take those four scriptures from today on, right? Write them down in your Bible somewhere and proclaim them over your mind and over your heart every day. I'm still doing it. And anytime I have any feeling like that, that's what I just bring it out. I'm not saying it's magic, but I'm just saying the Word of God is the only unshakable foundation. And that's the way we put it to work in our lives. We don't just read it and then forget it. We don't just hear it in a sermon and go home and say, that was great. No, we take it. And it's a handbook for living. And we read it and we believe it and we speak it into our lives, over our lives. Amen. Everybody bow your head just for a moment. I don't know all of you. I know some of you. I don't know if all of you ever made a commitment to Christ. So I don't want to close without giving you an opportunity. If you never gave your life to Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe this is the day for you to make that decision. Or maybe you did and you drifted away and you need to rededicate your life. I want to invite you to do that by praying this prayer. And we can all pray this prayer just so no one's praying alone. So let's pray it together, especially if you never received Christ and you need to make that decision today, or if you need to rededicate your life. Let's pray it together. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, gave his life, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I believe he was raised from the dead so that I can have eternal life. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I'll never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. Amen and amen.